What do you do when you have time on your hands? Lots of it. This is a real challenge in retirement. What do you do with all those hours? Decide to be your own boss and move forward with zero guilt and zero regrets. Tune in to Fresh Courage Radio. It's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on Transformation Talk Radio. We all have something special to share with the world, but many of us fail to use our innate talents to the fullest possible potential. Communities, cities, and nations grow stronger when everyone brings forward their unique gifts and talents to build and to create. We're creating with a freedom we never had before. It's not a trap. It's not a dream. You really are free. Time is your key to unlocking a life kept in waiting. Let's get started. There's no time to waste on Fresh Courage Radio with Sharon Rolfe now.
I'm your host, Sharon Rolfe, and you are listening to Fresh Courage coming to you on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And I am here to help inspire you to do something daily that brings you health, wealth, and happiness. Today's topic is beating off isolation. I'm getting to be on a soapbox about isolation because there's so much negative things that happen in our lives because we get isolated, or when we get isolated, it can happen to all of us. And it's kind of the precursor to depression and declining health. So, get away. I don't want isolation in my life. And Shelley Parks is here to talk to us about that. She has spent a career in the retirement living management area. And in 2015, she began to ask herself a very good question, thinking outside the box, how can we do this better? This question has led her to a quest that brought her to co-housing. Shelley now consults with emerging co-housing groups all over the United States and Canada. And her driving goal is to ensure that people have the opportunity to live their best lives in community, the opposite of isolation. So, Shelley, welcome to our program.
Oh, thanks, Sharon. It's so great to be here.
And what are we going to learn today? There's a lot of talk about the harmful effects of isolation, and you're hoping to combat that with your work in co-housing communities getting built, right?
That is correct. That is true.
So tell us, what's co-housing?
Yeah. So yeah, people always have all kinds of, when they first hear the term, they're like, is that a commune? So the first answer is no, it is not a commune. So co-housing is where people come together very intentionally and collaboratively to create a neighborhood where everyone has their own private homes. But there is also a lot of extensive common space built in to really allow people to come together and connect with each other. And I've heard some people describe it as an old-fashioned neighborhood with a modern twist.
Sounds good to me. And I love collaboration. So that again is kind of the opposite of isolation. Cool. So sometimes people get co-housing confused with co-living. It's not the same, is it?
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times people get those terms mixed up because there's a lot of terms out there now, right, that have the co in front of them, because we all want to be figuring this out about how do we live better together. So co-living is when people live together in a house. Basically, they share a house together. Co-housing, again, is where everyone has their own private home. And that's, it's really important, you know, because I think many of us really, we crave privacy, and it's important for us to have those moments where we can have privacy. But, there's the problem that we also need to be together, right, and to be working together and living together. So co-housing offers us a way to do that.
So co-living often means things like eating together, playing together kind of thing.
Yeah, you do the same in co-housing, right? I just the big difference is, do you want to live in a house and share, you know, maybe one kitchen and maybe you have a bedroom and you share a big house, or do you want to have your own private home and live in more of a neighborhood type setting? And that would be the difference between the two.
So there's choices. So what's your role in co-housing movement?
Yeah, so back in 2016, you mentioned in your introduction that I just really was obsessed with that question of how do we do this better? You know, I think I'm a big fan of the retirement living industry, and you know, we certainly need supportive services, but I think most of us don't, you know, grow up thinking that our goal in life is to move to a retirement community. So then we think, okay, well, we want to, you know, stay independent. And then that looks like staying in our homes. And of course, then that leads to isolation, what we're talking about. So when I was in the, you know, in that world working, I just was really obsessed with that question of how do we do this better? How do we live better? How do we age better? What does that look like? And, you know, in my quest, I stumbled upon co-housing, and I felt like the night that I found it, it was just a Google search when I was trying to, you know, answer the question. And I'll never forget that night, because I remember thinking that, oh, that's what so many of us have in our head, some version, but there was actually a format for making it happen. So I left my really wonderful retirement living career, and now work with groups that are co-housing groups that want to get themselves off the ground.
Boy, talk about courage leaving your career.
Yes, it was. It was a scary leap of faith.
And oftentimes, like I think I sometimes have talked about vulnerability is taking a leap of faith without any, well, showing up and being seen without any guarantee of the outcome. So that's that leap of faith where you, whatever is going to show up, I'm ready for it. And it, I often think it's magic, you know?
Yeah.
So how did you first get involved?
Well, you know, that night I discovered it on the internet. I realized that in a few months later, there was going to be a national conference that was down in Salt Lake City. And it just happened that conference was focused on senior co-housing. And so I thought, oh, that ties right in with, you know, this question that I'm asking. So I dashed off to Salt Lake City and went to the national conference. And I was really inspired by the idea that, you know, we can live better lives if we commit to living together than we will if we hang on to that belief that, you know, I will live best by being independent and isolated in my home, right? So that's kind of how I got started.
Well, yeah, us boomers like that, our independence, don't we? Mm-hmm. And the thing beyond independence, I think, is interdependence. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of being built into this community. Right.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, you do come together and you commit, you know, typically co-housing gets built by people coming together and dreaming about it. And then, you know, they'll partner with professionals where needed, but they're the ones that make it happen. And that is a very collaborative thing to do, a lot of hard work. But I, you know, have experienced that it's probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How many are there of these currently or in the process of being built?
Yeah, there are about 165 that are up and running across the United States, and about the same amount that are in some stage of formation across the country.
Mm-hmm. So when did it start and how?
Yeah, so originally got started in Denmark, and you know, it's the great story of just a group of neighbors that were trying to figure out how do we connect better, you know, what could we do to create a neighborhood that would be more like the neighborhood that we all desire and want to live in. And mm-hmm. so they very intentionally started to figure that out. And shortly thereafter, there were a couple of Americans, Chuck Durrett and Katie McCammett, who were studying architecture in Denmark and learned about it. And then, you know, came back to the United States and brought it back to the United States and and have really been instrumental. They wrote a number of books and very instrumental in getting the movement to happen. So it's been around for about 30 years here in the United States. Yeah, and taking off now. I think there's a lot, because like you said, baby boomers are, you know, we're really the first generation that had parents' age. You know, we experienced our parents' aging, whereas I know my parents didn't experience their parents' aging because they, you know, passed away much younger. So I think we are asking those questions and looking for new ways of living better.
So it's really a public culture change that we're heading into, new territory, right?
Yeah. Well, we're craving it, right? You know, we're living in a culture where we're divided.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it's hard to connect with your friends. You know, I think about this a lot. You know, when I want to get together with a friend, I usually pull up my calendar and she pulls up her calendar and we, you know, try to figure out when could we find time to get together for dinner. And it's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work to maintain friendships. And, you know, when you live in co-housing, they're designed in a way that there's a lot of opportunities for connection and also spontaneous interactions. You know, for instance, you pass someone on the walkway, you know, as you're going to get your mail, and you have that opportunity to say, "Hey, Sharon, how'd your visit go with, you know, your sister last week?" You know, so it's just that way to really connect.
Well, and it's interesting that I've even noticed one day I was feeling a little bit, you know, like maybe I was starting to get a bug. And when I went out for my walk, I ran into my neighbor down the street and chatted with her a little bit. And I was surprised when I came home, I felt better. Mm. Having noticed how I felt beforehand and afterhand, it's like maybe that little visit was health inspiring, you know, and how cool is that?
Yeah.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking more about this co-housing. Shelley has some personal experiences, and let's talk with her about how that is coming along for her living in her co-housing dream. And so stay tuned to Fresh Courage with Sharon and Kelly Parks.
How many times do you find yourself saying, "It was nothing"? Next time someone tells you, "Great job," you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com, and listen to the first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific with host Sherry Clark. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Learn to live in the light and unveil the authentic you with A Time of Healing Radio with me, Felice Diana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in every third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as I help listeners understand sacred fusion energy and how to connect to the spirit that fuels the very life we live. Explore the journey of spiritual transcendence and ultimately discover the path to peace, love, purpose, and wholeness. For more information, visit atimeofhealing.com.
You're listening to Fresh Courage on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Sharon Rolfe, with my guest today, Shelley Parks, and we're beating back isolation. That's the name of our show today, topic. And let's see. Shelley, we were talking about how you got involved in co-housing, and you have some personal experience now where you're planning on this. Tell us, how's that going, and what your experience has been for you personally then?
Yeah, after I discovered co-housing and answered that question of, oh, this is how we could do this better, I started thinking, gosh, maybe I should start my own community or maybe look to one that's just in the early stages of formation. So a couple years ago, my husband and I joined Skagit Co-Housing, which is a developing community that is going to be built in Anacortes, Washington. And, you know, it's been pretty powerful to join a group of people that are really committed to making community together. You know, we're designing the neighborhood with an architect and, committing to each other to be really great neighbors. And we expect to be built sometime in 2021.
So you had to actually go on, like, find some acreage. And does most co-housing start with new building then, or can it be existing building?
Yeah, it can be existing. Sometimes people will find something they can retrofit. Oftentimes, though, groups will find, you know, land that they can build on, and they'll design a community because it is a very intentional design. Cars are typically in the, you know, outside of the community, and the neighborhood is built in such a way that you're, you know, looking at your neighbor, not hiding yourself from your neighbor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I think when we talked before, you said that there's where you share meals or share gaming area or even considerations are made for sharing bedrooms, so not everybody has to have a spare room for guests to come.
Anything else
like that?
Yeah, it's typical for a co-housing community to create what's called a common house. And in the common house, you would have a large dining room and a kitchen. And remember, everybody's got their own kitchen and their own home.
Okay.
But then there would be a common house that would have, you know, a larger kitchen. And the idea is that you come together once, twice, three times, you know, a few times a week for shared meals. And, you know, it's typically not mandatory that you would do that. It's just a way for you to come together as a community, because we all know what it's like, right, to sit across the table with, a friend or a neighbor. It gives you that opportunity to connect and to chat and just, you know, share your lives. And oftentimes then in that common house, you'll build in guest suites so that, you know, everybody is not forced to be building their own homes with their own guest rooms. Instead, you know, it's so much smarter and we can live lighter on the planet by creating spaces that we don't need all the time, but can share. So at Skagit Co-Housing, we have built in a couple of guest suites that, we all can use as people that live in this community for our, you know, friends and family who come to visit.
Yeah, there seems like there's several ads right now about only pay for what you use, you know, whether it be cars or insurance or whatever. So this kind of goes along with that same kind of vein, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, so many people really understand that, why do we all need our own lawnmower, right? You know, we can share a lawnmower, you know, whatever that is. So the idea that it just makes sense for us to be sharing where we can.
Mm-hmm. So what has been the most surprising thing that you've experienced with co-housing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think about this a lot. I think for me personally, as one who's experiencing co-housing, and again, you know, we don't have the physical building. We are just now coming together as a group of people, but, you know, community begins to form even though we're not living there yet. And I would have to say that the really profound, deep relationships that have formed, and let me see if I can articulate this, because it is different. You know, I think in our normal lives, we're drawn towards people that we know we would like to be friends with, right? Mm-hmm. If we meet someone that maybe we don't necessarily connect with, we're probably not going to make that effort to really commit and connect with that person. in co-housing, you don't have that luxury, right? Because you're just a group of regular people coming together. And so, of course, some people you're drawn to more, but others, maybe in the, you know, in the outside world, outside of co-housing, you wouldn't necessarily take the time to get to know them. But when you're in an intentional community together, you're saying, I commit to being a great neighbor to you. And I find that, you know, that commitment to really listening to each other and caring about each other, and that commitment that we understand that we will live better together than we will alone, can be really deeply transforming. And I know I've had to struggle with that at times, because sometimes it's not easy, you know, it's about relationships. And I think the other thing that I have found is co-housing typically models or governs itself with a consensus model. And certainly in our culture, that's not something that we're comfortable with often. And it takes a lot of work. And, you know, what I find is that it creates a space for everyone to be heard. You know, there's not just a couple few with the loudest voices, or maybe they're on the board of directors that are the ones that are making things happen. Instead, you're saying, I will listen to everyone and I will take into account their viewpoint. And that has made a much richer life for me by taking the time to stop talking, you know, and to listen and to understand that there might be people that might really surprise me with what they have to share. And it's deeply humbling, I would say. And that's been powerful. It's been powerful for both. I know my husband would say the same. We talk about this a lot.
So there's no power plays. There's no egos, right?
Well, there are, of course, right? Because we are all a group of humans. So I would love to say, oh, it's rosy. But that's the challenge, right? Because you are saying we choose to try to not have that. And, you know, I know, like for us at Skagit Co-Housing, we have invested. We've paid money for trainers to come in and train us on how do we do this better. So, you know, we've invested in learning how to do it. And yeah, it's bumpy at times. But, you know, you can't, like, you know, you can't, if I get upset with a friend or a family member, I can just choose to not call them. If I live in community with someone, I'm going to see them next week at our general meeting, or, you know, when we live together, I'm going to run into them at the, you know, the common house meal. So I have to figure it out with that person. And that's very, that's powerful.
Very deliberate choice then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
So what kind of person could be attracted to co-housing?
I would say that you have to be very proactive and willing to put yourself out there. I think what the thoughts I just shared kind of highlight that. You need to be really curious and able to think beyond, you know, what your individual thoughts are. I think you need to really be willing to share yourself with others, to be vulnerable. You used that term earlier today. And all those things sometimes take a lot of work. So you have to be willing to do that. And you just have such a richer life if you're willing to do that, I believe.
Well, yeah, because it made me think of just on Saturday, I had... I do Lyft driving on the side, and I picked up this group of people that were from Columbia. Now, they're visiting their son. I guess their son lives here in Seattle, and they actually live right now in Minnesota. But the lady happened to be vulnerable enough to say, well, we're from Columbia. And it was kind of one of those situations where I could be curious, or I'm usually the first one to be vulnerable. For her to share that with me just really touched me. And it turned out that when I told her about my podcast, that she has a neighbor that's in this kind of, or soon to be in this situation. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a rich conversation, But had there not been the vulnerability and the willing to listen and being curious, I like that word curious a lot. And from what I'm reading about how to age well, learning and being curious and being in community, those are all very powerful things for helping us to age very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've all been with people that have become very self-centered as they've become older, right? And I think that's a product of isolation. You know, it's mm-hmm. if you have to be thinking of others, you're going to be much more, you know, willing to not be thinking of yourself. So,
yeah. I often think about my sister when she had a real bad accident where some her fingers were severed. She remembers say people said you can become bitter or you can become better. And I think older people, you know, the other generation ahead of us, they were often bitter or better. And we want to do it differently.
And it's a choice that we have to make, isn't it?
Yes.
Because if
yes.
we're not, if we just let it happen to us, we're going to be stuck. I used to see that in my retirement living days is people always thought that they would create a plan at some point, but then all of a sudden, you know, they can't take care of the house, their house is too big, they have a fall or something. And all of a sudden, you know, it's not pretty at that point.
Mm. So is co-housing only for older adults or what ages are usually signing up for this?
Yeah, you see all ages in co-housing. I think it's a great way for, you know, young families with kids to raise their kids because they can create a really supportive environment for their family. But there are many co-housing communities that are, you know, 55 plus kind of focused and oftentimes they're very intentional in that focus. You know, they're coming together saying, we really understand that we will do better in community as we age. So we will create that environment. In fact, I was visiting with Quimper Village over in Port Townsend one time, and they just happened to have this most amazing impromptu conversation about what would it look like, what do they want it to look like for them at the end of life? And to sit around this table and hear people, you know, in their 70s and 80s talking about it within a group of people in an impromptu way, right? I wish I would have been able to record that conversation because I was inspired by it. You know, they were sharing their wishes and their thoughts with their friends and yeah.
Talk about vulnerable, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're having a great conversation with Kelly Parks talking with us about co-housing. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll ask her some more intriguing questions.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716 or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Program, we're talking about combating isolation, and I'm Sharon Rolfe with our guest Shelley Parks talking about co-housing and how this is a great solution for creating community and beating back isolation. We don't want that in our lives, and it can be a real challenge since us boomers are so independent. Let's become interdependent, and that's a great application for co-housing. So we've heard in the news, Shelley, about how smoking a pack of cigarettes a day is bigger health risk than, I mean, isolation is bigger risk than isolation. Tell us more about what you know about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I think we've all seen the news about how isolation is a big health risk for us all. And, you know, I think that if we, each one of us, think about in our own lives, I think we've all known someone who, you know, it all happens to us, right? As we get older, maybe we don't like to drive at night anymore, you know? So all of a sudden, you know, the only times we can go connect with our, you know, the people that we care about in our lives is during daylight hours. And then maybe, you know, I think my mother at one point, she just realized she wasn't safe to drive anymore. You know, she didn't feel comfortable. So she gave up her driver's license. And when that happened, you know, she had to always rely on others. So I think, you know, if we have a life where we don't intentionally create a way where we're not isolated, then we run that risk of having that, you know, it's like, might as well take up smoking a couple packs of cigarettes a day, right? You know? I mean, it's just, it's isolation is not good for us. And I think about, you know, Sharon, earlier on this talk today, you talked about running into your neighbor and how you felt better. I think, you know, if all of us are kind of mindful of how yes. we feel when we connect mm-hmm. with people, mm-hmm. that will let us know that, yeah, I'm not going to be good if I, you know, sit in my house alone every day and not talk with people.
Well, and another new thing that I don't know how prevalent it is, but I have run into some changes in some of the Medicare coverage that may include Lyft transportation for people with chronic illnesses. Whether it's confined to just taking to the hospital or doctor's appointments, I'm not clear about. But for Medicare to break open that door and say, there are times we may be willing to cover that getting out and being somewhat social, in at least for your health reasons, mm-hmm. is monumental kind of shift, you know? So I like yep. that.
Yeah. And I would, you know, and so circling back to co-housing by what you just said, that's work, right? You know, if we have to get in our car to go visit our friend for coffee, that's work. You know, that's, you have to make an effort.
Deliberate. Again, yeah. Yeah.
Deliberate, you know, and maybe you don't feel great that morning. And that's just, it's, you know, again, going back to that question of how do we create lives where it's easy to interact with each other? You know, it's easy to have neighbors that you can, you know, knock on the door if you need a cup of sugar. Or, you know, I was, one of the visions I have in my head is I love to go for walks, but I, you know, oftentimes I don't plan ahead. I walk by myself because, you know, but imagine if I lived in a co-housing community, as I will in a couple of years, and, you know, the night before I happened to sit across the table with you, Sharon, and you mentioned, yeah, I'm going to be home all day tomorrow. And I wake up in the morning and it's beautiful, sunny, and I'm going to go ask Sharon if she wants to go for a walk. That's easy, right? We could just then head off for a walk together. So it just, you know, how do we create a way where we don't have to work at not being isolated, where it's just easier?
Well, and while you're saying that, being eating dinners together, mm-hmm. to look in people's eyeballs or and see how their skin is, or you can see if they're, you know, how well they're feeling just by eyeball to eyeball, and yeah. that kind of thing, that seems like it seems natural with caring, but you can't do that as easily on the phone, you know. Or I haven't used Snapchat or FaceTime yet, but when you're sitting across the table from someone, it's so easy to seem to care spontaneously.
Yep. And taking that to another level. So, you know, my husband and I live in a condo building where we don't know our neighbors, right? So because we don't know them, just the way it's built, it's designed, and, you know, nobody wants to know each other here. You know, I don't know them well enough to read their body language, you know, but again, imagine, Sharon, if you and I lived in a co-housing community, we would know each other. So I would know if you were in a rush because you had to, you know, get on one of these calls, I could read that in your body language you could just walk by me and I'd say, hey, hope the call goes well, you know, and you would have that quick moment, versus where we don't know each other and we can't read the language of each other. Mm-hmm. That's important too. And I think, you know, one of the things that people are always surprised about with co-housing is they think that it's extroverts that are going to want to live in co-housing. And there was a study done that more introverts live in co-housing than extroverts. And I think it's because I'm an introvert, so I can speak to this. We understand that, you know, we better create a way to have connections with people, mm-hmm. or we're just going to, you know, self-isolate ourselves and, you know, hole up on it.
I'm with you there. Well, and I like to do creative things, and creative types you need that alone time in order to be doing your creativity. Yep. So how would if someone was interested in co-housing, what words of advice do you have?
Yeah, I would say to be prepared for personal growth. You know, we already talked about this a little bit, but living in community puts you in a place where you've got to often examine your own motives. And I think that can be hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think, I would just think that, you know, we all want purpose in our lives. And that often takes work. So, you know, if someone's interested in co-housing, I think just say, am I open to a new experience? Curious. We talked about that at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have a couple stories that illustrate what you learned firsthand. Can you share us a couple stories?
Yeah, I have a moment that when I mentioned that I had gone to the conference in Salt Lake City, and I was new to co-housing, and one of the things they offered was the opportunity to go tour a co-housing community, my very first one that I saw in person. And, you know, I was new to it all, so I had, you know, my own stereotypes in my head of what kind of person would live in co-housing. And so, you know, we were put into small groups. I was in a group of about five people touring with a gentleman that lived there giving us a tour. And he was just very grumpy and kind of difficult. And I remember through the whole tour thinking, gosh, that's fascinating that he lives in co-housing. And at the end of the tour, someone in the group asked him why he lived in co-housing. And he said, well, he goes, you might have noticed I'm not the nicest guy. That's what he said. And he said, so every morning before I get out of the bed, I think to myself, how can I be the best husband to my wife? How can I be the best father to my children? And how can I be the best neighbor to my neighbors? Because I wouldn't naturally ask myself that question. And community forces me to ask that question. And I think that for me was a turning point. I mean, that's when I realized that, yeah, that there's this opportunity for us to continue to grow and to be the best, you know, the best person we can be in the world, in a very supportive environment. So yeah, that stuck with me.
Yeah, I love people pursuing a purpose. And I've never married and never had kids. So putting myself into a housing situation where I'm naturally around children, I think would be such a different life and rewarding, because kids have a way of bringing out the best in us kind of naturally, or testing us, you know, and we're both learning from each other. But to have that happen spontaneously, I think is part of that magic that life brings to us.
Yeah. And again, right, it's like, you know, how do we live in an old fashioned neighborhood with a modern twist? How do we do that? Mm-hmm.
And gives a lot of room for give and take, doesn't it?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And trusting each other, you know, you have to trust in other people and give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Ease it. Trust isn't often something on a daily basis that we think about anymore, it seems like, and maybe we need to get back to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's, in our last segment, wrap up with a couple more questions. And you're listening to Fresh Courage with Sharon Rolfe and my guest, Shelley Parks, talking about co-housing to beating back isolation. Thanks for listening. Come back soon.
Part of life is the aromas and delights of our sensuality. Hummingbird Jewel shares her secret formula and her signature fragrance oil, Julia. This fragrance oil can be used in a variety of ways, such as scenting your laundry, car, or closet. The oils come in roll-ons for convenience. If you prefer a perfume bottle, we can package them together, elegantly wrapped for gift-giving. If you're interested, contact me at hummingbird-jewel.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death, from debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit AngieCorbettKuyper.com.
Coming back with Fresh Courage and my guest Shelley Parks, and we're talking today about co-housing. Kelly's got a couple more stories that we're gonna hear before we close up the program today. So Shelley, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Sharon. There's so many moments. And I've visited a lot of co-housing communities all across the country, and there have always been these moments where I've just really, it's illustrated well. So the first one was, I was visiting a community in Portland and heard the story of this woman who was older, and she had had a hip replacement. And, you know, of course, the doctor asked her when they were getting ready to send her home, do you have anyone that can watch out and help out for you? And she said, well, yeah, I have like 28 friends. You know, so right, that's co-housing, right? So of course, you know, she just did very well because people were watching out for her, and she loved to work in the yard, so she spent a lot of time working in the yard, but you know, knew that she would have help if she needed. Well, part of the support that the community gave her was making sure that someone checked in with her every single morning. And so there was someone assigned to do that. Well, one morning she had passed away in her sleep. So, you know, the neighbor sent out an email to everyone letting all the neighbors know that. And so someone arranged for all the kids to get together. And so they just timed it so that the kids could do this before school. They lined up along the walkway. And as, you know, the coroner came and, you know, took the body away, and as they rolled her by, the children all got to sing songs, and they had little token, little things, you know, their little toys or whatever it was that they placed, you know, as she was being rolled away as a ceremony, kind of an impromptu thing. And I was so touched when I heard that, because that's such an illustration of how, you know, children can be part of you know, a natural part of life, right? And mm-hmm. And that the community could come together for that.
How neat. Yeah. Well, and that ties a little bit with my guest last week that we're talking about preschoolers, including death as part of something they learned in their learning center with the older senior community. You have a story about a gentleman who lost his wife too?
Yeah, there's another community that in the same year, they had two home births and two home deaths in the same community. So of course, you know, that created, you know, the community coming together. But one specific thing that happened with that was a mom with a young, you know, an infant, she needed to head to the common house for a meeting, but she didn't want to wake this new, I think the baby was a couple months old, wake the baby up. So she just put a quick email out to the community. Hey, could anybody just sit on the couch? Let me know if the baby wakes up and I'll come home. Well, it turned out that a gentleman that had lost his wife was the first one to respond. And he said, oh yeah, I can come sit on the couch and listen for a crying baby. So he came and sat on the couch. And of course, and this gentleman had never, he and his wife had always wanted children, but were never able to have children. So he always really treasured that opportunity to be around kids. But this was the first time he got to be a caregiver, right? Even if the baby was sleeping. Well, then as time evolved, he ended up being like a really true friend to this mom with this baby. And he was the go-to person she could always call. And, you know, his life was just very enriched by being able to really be a part of this you know, little baby's life. And it was pretty cool to hear that story.
I actually have a grandmother who passed the same day that on the other side of the family a newborn was born, and I just treasure that synchronicity of the same happening the same day, which is just always been a real special moment in my life. But not everybody connects those dots exactly either.
So
you have some ways that people can learn more about this, don't you, Shelley?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the National Co-Housing Association, and it's easy to remember. It's just cohousing.org. And they're a really great resource for all things co-housing. And if somebody would just like to dive in and learn more, I would definitely go to that association's website. And then, of course, you know, I always love to talk about co-housing, so people are always welcome to reach out to me also.
Well, and you gave examples of where you went and saw some, kind of like a Airbnb, try it out, see if you want to live in this other state.
Yeah, some communities actually do have rentals at times. Others will just do a day tour. Many communities just do it. I know coming up this next spring, there's always the National Co-Housing Day, which a lot of communities will do open houses. So there are lots of ways to learn more, for sure.
Is there one state that has more co-housing than other states?
Yeah, we have a lot of them here in Washington. There are a lot in California. Colorado has a lot of the Northeast. So kind of there are some pockets around the country, which again, on the association's website, there's actually a map where they show where co-housing communities are.
Cool. So let's see. Why don't you go ahead and give your email address and phone number for our audience?
Okay, great. My phone number, and you're always welcome to call me, is 425-308-0639. And I have a website, and it's CoVision, so C-O-V as in Victor, Vision Consulting. And my email, of course, on there would just be Sparks. So it looks like Sparks spelled out.
I love
Sparks,
it. Yeah,
Sparks at covisionconsulting.com. So yeah, and always, you know, if anyone has questions or would just like to know where they could learn more, I would be happy to talk.
Okay. Again, her phone number is 425-308-0639. And you do have some free resource list on your website, didn't you?
Yep, there's a really great, there's some resources of links to really good articles and TED Talks and other things about co-housing.
Oh, okay. I love TED Talks. So you can contact me and my website. I'm effortlessvitality.org. And my little fabric art blocks are found on Etsy, and my store is called Quilted Petunia. And I do have a Facebook page, Effortless Vitality. And these podcasts are available on my website under the tab for podcasts. But I also do some YouTube weekly thought for the week that you might get a lot out of too. So I hope this has given you some new ideas about how you could be in community deliberately and on purpose. And it sounds like a rich way to go. I'm going to certainly look into it because, like I say, being single, I need to build combat isolation on a deliberate manner. So come back next week for our next show. We're going to talk to Dr. Dorian Mincer and this on the next program of Fresh Courage. Thanks, Shelley, for joining me today. And I look forward to more podcasts with my audience. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Ready to take some liberties and call some shots? I know I am. Join in next week on Fresh Courage Radio. It's your time to shine with Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com. If you still need some inspiration, let your curiosity lead you. Many still find their lives ruled by the clock, but you forge your own path. You are starting on a journey that will lead you outward, out of isolation, and inward to your true desires for life. There is no map where we're going, but let Sharon Rolfe be your guide in a new world of possibilities. Find your passion, find your reason, find your fun, and everything you dreamed of. Every week brings new insights and ideas to light your way and elevate your day. To learn more about Fresh Courage Radio with Sharon Rolfe, please visit effortlessvitality.org.